Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yuma Daf Chof Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 8 lines from the bottom of Daf Chof Tes Omed Aleph. The Gemara quotes the Mishnah, Shochatu Es HaTomid. The Mishnah spoke about their having slaughtered the Korban Tomid and discovered that it was still dark, and they had to take it out to be burnt as a disqualified sacrifice. And the Mishnah then mentioned that the Kohen Gadol descended to a mikveh in anticipation of starting the Avodas Hayom. So we want to know what time of year, what is our Mishnah referring to? The specifically the case of the let's say mistake concerning that Tomid as featured in the Mishnah. And you'll see the dilemma of the Gemara as we go along. Before we start the Gemara itself, though, on the side we have our no say topic heading, Mivneh, structural note combined into one, a double underline with that you see featured there, our Shlovim, Lahazbir, Emas Koi Mishnah Seinu, Biyom Kippur, O Bishari Mos Hashana. When is our Mishnah, what time period is our Mishnah talking about? Is it talking about some time in the middle of the year, or is it speaking about Yom Kippur? Emas. If you were to think that it's a reference to some day in the middle of the year, then lo sagya delav koyin gadol, couldn't the tomid have been shechted by someone other than the Kohen Gadol? When you read the Mishnah, it says that they had mistakenly shechted the tomid when it was still night, and then the Kohen Gadol went down to immerse. It sounds like the Mishnah is talking about the Kohen Gadol had slaughtered it prematurely, and then he went on to immerse. But if it's Shari Mos Hashana, does it need to be, have been done by the Kohen Gadol? That's the expression Lo Sagi Delav Kohen Gadol. Could it not have been done by someone other than the Kohen Gadol? Elo Biyom Kippurim. So let us say the Mishnah is talking, in fact, about Yom Kippur. There was one Yom Kippur that they ended up shechting, slaughtering the Tomid Shel Shachar prematurely while still night. The Gemara says, well, if it was Yom Kippur, Mor Halavona Miika. There's the sun, the moon, at that time of year, the 10th of the month, is not shining at the end of the night. So the Mishnah which had described a mistake that was attributed to what turned out to be moonlight wouldn't have been the case had the Mishnah been speaking about Yom Kippur, because as we said, on Yom Kippur, the moon at that, which the Yom Kippur is the 10th of Tishrei, the 10th of a lunar month, the moon is not shining at that time of night. When we say that time of night, meaning the latter part of the night when they would, let's say, be getting ready for the Tomid. Hachi ko'omar. So thusly we are to understand the Mishnah. In fact, There are two separate time periods referred to in the Mishnah. One time period is when they made the mistake and shechted the Tomid early. That was in the middle of the year. It has nothing to do with Yom Kippur. And as far as the reference to the Kohen Gadol, what the Mishnah is saying, it's a separate clause as follows. Uv Yom HaKippurim Ki Omar Borak Bar Koi, and on Yom Kippur, when the announcement was made that it, that the dawn has arrived, Yehoridu Kohen Gadol Lebeis HaTfilah, then the Kohen Gadol was sent down to the mikveh for immersion. And as Rashi says, the issue of the Horidu Kohen Gadol is a separate matter, so that the premature shechting of the korban, of the korban tamid shel shachar, and its subsequent being sent out to be burnt, is the end of one point. And the Horidu Kohen Gadol featured in the Mishnah is the beginning of another point. Toni Avua de Rebbe Ovin. So the father of Rebbe Ovin teaches the following source. And before we begin in the before we continue further in the Gemara, on the side we have a nosei, a topic heading, where we have written Avodos Korbanos Shenasu Balayla Shelo Kedin. We'll be referring to sacrificial activity done at night improperly. There are things that one can do at night, but there are many things that one cannot do. So the following Tanaic source was taught Lo Zu Bilvad Omru. Not only a korban that was shechted at night is sent out to be burnt, Eloaf Malikas Oifu Kmitzas Mincha Balailo Tisaref. A bird offering, which is the oaf, is a bird offering. Malika is the equivalent of the slaughtering of a bird. In the realm of sacrifices, the bird was slaughtered through a process called Malika. A thumbnail was inserted into the back of the neck of the bird, thereby severing its neck organs. So the Malika Sa'of and Kamitzis HaMincha is the taking of a handful of a meal offering. A meal offering would, as its name implies, was something that was a baked good or flour, and a handful from a bowl was taken from the Mincha offering, and that handful eventually, after being placed in another separate vessel, was then brought to the altar for burning. So these two additional actions of slaughtering of a bird offering and the taking of the handful done at night, tisoref. Those things, it was done improperly, it was done premature, it was done before day, so it must be taken out to be burnt. Bishlama olas ha'if, I understand the need for burning the olas ha'if, ma'idah havahavi. What's been done has been done. In other words, you can't reverse it, you can't reverse that. It's been killed, been slaughtered. Ella komitz, but as far as the handful of the meal offering, why do you take the handful that was drawn from the bowl of flour? Why do you take it to be burnt? Nehadra, we continue at the top of Omid Beis. Nehadra, unahader v'nikmet sobiyamama. Why not just put it back into the bowl from where you took it and retake the handful during the day? Why does the Avua de Rebbe Ovin in his source say that the mincha that's taken, the handful that's taken at night, is to be burnt? Who Tani Lav Hu Amar La? Avua de Rebbe Ovin taught the source and he explains. Kli Shoris Mekatshin Afilu Shelo Bizmano. Kli Shoris is a service vessel. Now that handful that we said was taken from the original bowl was then placed in a second service vessel, and that vessel is referred to by the general term kli shores, a service vessel. Things placed in kli shores become sanctified, and once it becomes sanctified, so it cannot return to its pre-sanctified state as a mincha shelo nikmatza. So the handful also reached a point of no return. And Rabbi, this Avud, Rabbi Yoman is telling us that klisharis mekachin, they cause sanctification afilu shelo bizmano, even at the time that's not its prescribed time, namely at night. Topic heading accompanies this section of Gemara with a structural note. On the side, we've written Dino Shel Avud Rabbi Yoman klisharis mekachin afilu shelo bizmano, that service vessels have the capacity of imparting sanctity upon that which is put into their cavity, into their airspace, even if it's not the ordained time. And then you see triangles that appear down this omid, three of them. These are three kushos al dino shel Rabbi Ovin u'tshuvos. We'll see three questions on Rabbi Ovin's teaching, and that's namely the avur de Rabbi Ovin and his responses. The Gemara Meisvei. We raise an objection. The Avur de Rabbi Ovin just said that Kli Shoros from Makashin Afilu Shelo Bizmano. So let's see a Tanaic source. Zeh HaKlal. Kol HaKorev Biyom Kodosh Biyom. Items that are offered or sacrificed during the day are sanctified during the day. An example of that would be all kinds of meal offerings and the blood of sacrifices and the incense offering. They will become sanctified in their respective service vessels by day. And when we speak about something being sanctified, they gain what we call Kedushas Haguf. It's a high level of sanctity, an inherent sanctity, as opposed to a lower form of sanctity known as Kedushas Domim, where an item has value, has its value has been sanctified. And even though we're not going to discuss it over here in this Gemara, but the general distinction is something that has Kedushas Domim can be redeemed. Its sanctity can be transferred onto money. Something that has Kedushas HaGuf cannot be redeemed. The source that we started continues. V'chol HaKorev Balayla Kadosh Balayla. This is an interesting topic, the things that can be offered at night. Rashi cites it. We're not going to spend time on it, but there is a situation. We say it's interesting because the idea of offering things at night is a very unusual, very uncommon situation. But there are certain types of meal offerings that are designed to accompany sacrifices. Those are called minchas nesochim. Those can be offered at night. So Korev Balayla is Kodosh Balayla, can gain its sanctity in its service vessel at night. V'chol HaKorev Bein Bayom Bein Balayla, things that are offered by day and by night, Kodosh Bein Bayom U'Bein Balayla, can gain their sanctity whether it be day or night. Kotoni Mias, it however says in this source, Kol HaKorev Bayom Kodosh Bayom, that which is offered by day, and your standard meal offering is offered by day, Kodosh Bayom is sanctified by day. Now, we infer, Bayom in, Balayla lo. Sanctity is by day, yes, not at night. Once again, Bayom in, Balayla lo, not at night. So, now we've dashed underline Balayla, because that's the main problem. Avud Rabbi Ovin said that Kli Shoros or Mekatshin Afilu Shelo Bizmano, which meant that the mincha becomes sanctified, the handful becomes sanctified even though it was put into its service vessel at night. And you see here that that doesn't happen. It doesn't become sanctified. The Gemara answers, when we speak about sanctification, there are actually two levels. Dilma eino kodosh likrav, avo kodosh lifsal. When we say that it doesn't become sanctified at night, it means it doesn't become sanctified to the point that you could then go ahead and offer it. In other words, it's not kosher. However, it does gain a level of sanctity that it becomes rendered unfit. As opposed to something that's totally unsanctified, we say nothing happened. Here we say, yes, something happened. A level of sanctity set in that now prevents me from returning it to its original unsanctified state. So, hence our handful that was placed in a service vessel at night becomes sanctified, lifsal, it becomes sanctified and is now ruined. Mosiv Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera raises an objection from a Tanaic source that deals with the Lechem Haponim. The Lechem Haponim were 12 loaves that were set up on Shabbos and left on the table that was known as the golden table in the Heichal of the Beis HaMikdash from Shabbos till next week's Shabbos. And the next week, after it sat there for, we'll say, 8 days, if you count the day it was set on the table, Shabbos, till the next Shabbos, and you count inclusively, it would have sat there for 8 days, together with the Lechem Aponim. There was also the Bozichim, two containers that had within them Lavoina, a type of spice that was offered on the Mizbeach in the Azora on Shabbos. So the source says, Sidur Salechem is a Bozichim, Acharas Shabbos, here's something was done incorrectly. They didn't set up the breads on Shabbos, but rather they set them up on Sunday. It was after Shabbos. V'hitir esa bozichin b'Shabbos. So imagine, they didn't set the breads and the bozichin up on time. They set them up on Sunday, a day late. And then the next Shabbos, they offered those bozichin, they offered the Lavona spice on the Mizbeach the next Shabbos. Psula. That's unfit. It's wrong. And it's because it didn't sit on the table the full amount of time. So Ketzad Yaseh, so what should be done? Let's say that such a thing happened, that it was set up on Sunday, a day late. Yanichenu l'Shabbos haba. So it's left there till the Shabbos after that. In other words, it will have sat on the table for 13 days. You know, it's almost 2 weeks. Shafilu omdo al hashulchan yomim rabim ein bekach klum. Even if it sits on the table many days, it doesn't become ruined that way. Well, v'amai, why do you say it doesn't become ruined? Tikdosh v'tifsal. Let us say it becomes sanctified and ruined, like we said just before with regard to a mincha that was put into its service vessel at the wrong time. It becomes sanctified and ruined. Here you've got breads that were put on the table at the wrong time, so let us say they become sanctified and ruined. Now, it should be pointed out that the table was a Kli Shoreis as well. It was a service vessel, albeit a large and expensive one, but it was a service vessel. So why not say that it has that same capacity? Omar Rova, Man de Ko Moisiv, Shapir Ko Moisiv. The question that was raised, and was Rabbi Zera raised this question from Lechem Aponim, where we see it doesn't become ruined, that's a good question. Ve'avua de Rabbi Ovin Nami Masnisa Ko Omar. Well, the Avuah de Rabbi Ovin also presented a Tanaic source. So we have a mitzvah here. We have to resolve these two points. In other words, it's not as if Rabbi Zera is asking a question on his own. And if that were the case, so we would be able to, let's see, overlook it and say that he is repudiated by this. By Avuah de Rabbi Ovin's source. That's not the case, though, because Avuah de Rabbi Ovin also presented a Tanaic source. So we have a mitzvah here to resolve these two sources. And that's what the Gemara does now. V'kosovar, lailo ein mechusar zman. The case of the mincha being placed in the service vessel at night, it's a wrong time, but it's ein mechusar zman. It's not considered a lacking in time. It's a bit of an irony or seeming self-contradiction, but that's not the point. That's not the case. Laila is not mechusar zman, meaning it's sufficiently within the time frame for sanctity to take hold, but it's not enough within the time frame to be considered kosher. Hence, if you have something that's become sanctified and ruined, yom mechusar zman. However, the lechem aponim that were put on the table by day, in fact, a week before on the Sunday before the Shabbos that we were hoping it would be offered, it's mechusar zman, it's lacking in time, and therefore it doesn't even become sanctified to the point that it would be susceptible to ruination. So that when the gap in time between the actual, let's say, the kosher time, when the gap in time is very small, namely, we're talking about just the night before, then it does become sanctified and subject to ruination. As opposed to where the gap in time between the kosher time is expanded, namely to the, we'll say, the day before, and in the case of the Lechem Aponim, it's not just one day before, it's many days before, so then it's not subject to sanctification leading to ruination. The Gemara asks, Ki moti bei shimshi. Okay, so let's say the Lechem Aponim was on the table prematurely many days before, so it didn't become ruined at that point. But you said that the night before its appropriate time, it does become sanctified and ruined. So why not say Bei Shimshi, that means Friday night, the Friday night before the Shabbos, that it will be fit, that Friday night, Tikdosh V'Tifsal, it becomes sanctified and ruined. After all, it's on the table Friday night, and the table is the sanctification vessel. It's the kli shoritz, it's the service vessel. So why not say that it's becoming sanctified at night? You see, the proper time for placing the bread on the lechem, the lechem aponim and the bozichon on the table is Shabbos by day. In this case, it's been sitting on there for almost 2 weeks now. And the Friday night, right before the Shabbos day, should it not become sanctified at that point and become ruined, just like our handful of mincha became ruined by being in the service vessel the night just before the day? Omar Ravina. Ravina says, he answers, says, you know, you've got a point there, and I've got an answer for you. He says, Shekidam Vesilko. The source that we had a few lines up, which spoke about the Lechem Aponim being placed on the table on Sunday. You know what? When that Friday night comes, right before it sets in, they remove the breads and the bozichin from the table. So it's not on the table that Friday night. Marzutra v'itemo Ravashi Omar. Marzutra has a different approach. Some say in the name of Ravashi. Afilu temo b'shelo kidam v'silko. We can explain the source and the acceptability of those breads, the lechem aponim, that sat there for almost 2 weeks, we can explain that without saying they were removed. Kevan shesidra shelo kemitzvah, so since they were set on the table improperly, and improperly Rashi explains, b'chisaron zman, with a great lack in time, or you can say, since they were set up prematurely, meaning that Sunday, almost 2 weeks before, Nasa Kemo Shesidro Hakof. Literally, it's as if a monkey had set it on the table. But now Rashi expounds on this. Nasa Kemo Shesidro Hakof Shalomi Daito, which is a monkey's action, is something done that we would say it was without knowledge and without intent. Shere Nizdar Kodim Leil Shabbos. It was set up on the table before that Friday night. At a time that it's lacking in time, the time factor is sorely lacking. The lo domi lekoimetshnigbas v'layla. It's not like the case of the handful that was taken on the night right before the day for lechem shisab leil Shabbos, or lechem aponim set on the table that was set up, that was put on the table, that was set up initially on a Friday night. The lav Mechuser Zman, who, that is a case of it's not lacking in time. The night is so close to the appropriate time that the night is within the time frame, but not quite enough to be considered kosher, and hence the Kodesh Lufsal becomes sanctified and ruined. Ukshemagia Zmano, and in our case, when the time came to Ein HaShulchan Mekatsho Ad Shesalkenu Mimeno V'Yavsu V'Sedrenu, in our case, since it was set up so prematurely, the table won't sanctify it until the breads are actually removed and reset in the right time. The Gemara continues once again with a quote from the Mishnah, Zeh Klal Hoya B'Mikdash, the rule that was in the Beis Hamikdash, called Amatil Mayim Tohen Kiddush Yalam Dam Raglaim. We saw that anyone who urinated, the Kohen who urinated, needed to re-sanctify his hands and his legs. So the Gemara asks, why both hands and legs? Bishlamo Raglaim, I understand the need for washing the feet, Mishum Nitzotzot, because of the droplets of urine that may have remained on his feet. Elo yodai, in my time of, but why the necessity of re-sanctifying the hands? Don't forget that we're talking about a situation where he had done the necessary minimum hand-leg sanctification at the outset, but in the course of the day, if he urinated, so the Mishnah says he's got to re-sanctify hands and legs. Well, legs we explain because of the nitzotzes, the droplets of urine that shouldn't be there. But the hands, why? Omar Rebbe Abba, Zoy Soymeres, this shows us, we continue at the top of Lamed Omer Aleph, mitzvah l'shafshef, that there is a mitzvah for one to rub off, to physically remove the droplets from his legs. So you're dealing with the Kohen's hands also having come into contact with the urine, hence the necessity for washing the hands as well. And this comment of Rabbi Abba, that it's a, this shows you that there's a mitzvah. One is commanded to rub off his legs from the meiraglayim. Misayalei the Rabbi Ami. This is a support to that which Rabbi Ami says. The Yom Rabbi Ami also l'odom sheitze benitzotzes shal gabi raglov. It's forbidden for a person to go out after urinating with any urine droplets left on his legs. Mipnei shenire kekrus shofcha. It could give the impression that he is a krus shofcha. The word krus is cut, means something cut, and shofcha is a reference to something spilling out. This is a reference to a, we'll say, a problem with the male organ. A person, let us say a male, who had some type of injury at that on his male organ, the organ of procreation, and the tubes were cut. What, in a case like that, a person like that cannot bear children, because the zera, the semen that contains the male sperm, will not ejaculate properly, causing impregnation. That type of person also, because of the injury that he has, his urination is also imperfect, and it doesn't come out as a strong flow, but rather it comes out. It doesn't arc into the distance as healthy urination would happen. Rather, it drops pretty much close to where he is standing, so that a krus shofcha is a kind of person that inevitably will have droplets of urine on his feet. And a person that you see that happens to have droplets of urine on his feet, you might think that he's a krus shofcha, and then you would start thinking that, well, he can't have kids. And let's say a person like that, who has urine droplets on his feet, and we know that he has children, you know what you're going to start to think? You're going to start to think that maybe the man's wife was improper and had intimacy with another man, because her own husband couldn't have impregnated her. So that a person who is healthy should not walk around with droplets of urine on his feet, because he gives the impression that he's a krus shofcha, umotzi laz al bonav shein mamzerim, and he would then create murmurs, an ill reputation concerning his sons, his children, that they are not his own children, and that his wife, who's married him, had intimacy with another man, and as a married woman having intimacy with a man other than her husband produces children that are called mamzerim, illegitimate, and mamzerim, which of course carries with it severe restrictions, etc. The Gemara continues with a new point. On the side, we have a topic heading. Tsoa bimkoma b'fi hanekev osur likros kriyashma. Truth be told, though, that since we are in the context of the Daf Yomi, and we've completed an idea, and we've also completed our Daf Choftes, so this would be a convenient place to pause. Before we conclude, let us just remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.